Thank you very much. And I want to start off by thanking the American Public Health Association and the group that put together the physical activity intervention, the physical activity interest groups, as well as these presentations. And I think that I've thoroughly enjoyed all the presentations up to this point. Hopefully I'll enjoy this one too. Okay. So I don't have anything to disclose here. So basically the agenda for my talk, we'll talk a little bit about the motivation and the background that kind of led up to this type of an intervention, which I think is very important. Talk about the game and the research design and the results, and then some observations that we had. And the first thing that I wanted to talk about, this is my acknowledgement page. This game was funded, this research project was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation under the Health Games Research Portfolio. And what I wanted to point out here, as we've seen in some of the other presentations that have come before, is that it really, that doing this type of research really takes a team. And in our team, we had an individual, myself, who was interested in health and physical activity and how we could use interventions, technology interventions, to influence behaviors, healthy behaviors. In order to do this type of a study, we needed somebody that knew something about games. I play card games. That's about all I do. I don't do any kind of other games. I haven't tried any of that. So we brought in a game designer on our campus. He was in the College of Arts and Sciences. He's a professional game designer. He's also a professional writer. He's written for Charlie's Angels and some soap operas, and a very creative individual. And then our third person was in the Kelly School of Business on our campus as well, that really had a lot of research expertise in evaluating technologies and knew a lot about the psychological attractiveness of a game. So what aspects are there of a game that might make it attractive and engage people in the game? And she actually worked on developing a questionnaire to evaluate the psychological attractiveness of the game. And so this really, to me, points out that in when we're using, at least from my perspective, when we're using technology and we're using gaming, is that this is a case where collaboration is really, really key. And I certainly didn't know anything about really the other aspects there. Also down in the bottom left, we have a couple of our graduate students down there. They were the computer programmers, the graphic designers. Just you'll see some wonderful things that they put together. So we really had a wonderful team, and this was really very important in the project. The background and motivation, some our first presenter talked a little bit about and very nicely showed how physical activity changes and decreases as you go from children and adolescents to the college student population, which he had as the 18 to 24-year-olds, to the adult population. And I'm specifically interested in the college student population. This project was focused on college freshmen because we think that we see a very large change during the transition time from high school to college. These are individuals that are now on their own. They're responsible for themselves. They have to set their own schedules, their time management. They have to figure out what to eat. And in a lot of cases, they've gone from having very structured physical activity on club sports, in classes, etc., to being basically going where they have to figure it out on their own. They have to figure out how to be physically active. And that's not an easy thing to do. And what we're seeing is that decrease in physical activity in the college years, but it's really very pronounced during that transition of the first semester, the first year of college. Along with those physical activity decreases, we're seeing increases in the percentage of individuals who are overweight, more not necessarily obese, but we're definitely seeing that weight gain in this population. And so how has this been dealt with in the past? Traditionally, a lot of the interventions have focused on health-based classes. And so they have individuals sign up for classes and they present across the broad spectrum of health, physical activity, alcohol, stress management, maybe sexual behavior, across the broad, and they have them in a classroom, and it's a tell and test. And so we present the information, and then we test them on it, and they may not necessarily get an opportunity to apply the information that they're collecting. And so this project, really, I don't know if any of you were at the earlier presentation, the physical activity presentation. A colleague of mine, Carol Armbruster Kennedy, presented some of her research on the Living Learning Center, and that's actually, we did this project out of the Fitness and Wellness Living and Learning Center, where they're living in a dorm. For those of you that weren't here, they're living in a dorm that has a fitness facility, they're part of a community, and they have this semester-long class that covers all of the different health behaviors. And so we thought that by being in that kind of environment, it would have a positive impact, and it turns out that it didn't. And even individuals who were in that environment had a decrease in physical activity and an increase in weight. And so that's how this really came about, was looking to see how can we get to the college student, how can we engage that type of a student. It's the millennium generation. They are interested in teamwork. They like to experiential activities. They're goal-oriented. And they're very, very, very interested in technology and using technology. I'm sure every single one of them has a smartphone or something like that and is consistently on it. So instead of looking at technology as something that makes us sedentary, let's look at a way that we can use technology to improve healthy behaviors. So that's what we were focused on. And another important thing here is that 65% of college students play games. So they're very competitive. They're interested in that type of thing. So the two primary research questions were, what is the efficacy of a game-based intervention to influence physical activity, and does that participation have a positive impact on weight? There's other variables that we looked at. These are the two that I'm primarily going to be addressing here. So we had, we used the class, the Foundation of Fitness and Wellness class. These were all first semester freshmen, and there was a number of labs. And so we randomly chose one lab to be the game lab, and then we had two other labs serve as a control. And these students were enrolled in the Foundation of Fitness and Wellness class. In that class, they covered weekly topics, as I said, stress, sleep, activity, nutrition, things like that. And they also had a physical activity lab where they went to the fitness facility and learned a little bit about being active and how to use the equipment and different ways to be active. So what we did was we took baseline measures of physical activity, and I'll talk a little bit more about, we used down in the bottom, we used something called the ActiPen accelerometer. It's a pedometer. It goes on the foot, and basically it quantifies the steps throughout the day, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. We did our pre and our post measures, the beginning of the semester, the end of the semester. We did physical activity and body composition. So for the first week when we were doing the testing, they wore the activity monitors, and they were not able to see their activity at all. After we got their baseline activity, we placed them into teams where they were randomly, so that they were matched based on physical activity, so we didn't have teams that were overactive versus teams that were inactive. We also did a short online survey as well related to health behaviors and physical activity. The steps were recorded using the ActiPen accelerometer, and one of the reasons that we like this is that it's that the data is wirelessly uploaded to the internet. All the students have to do is walk by a transmitter, a wireless access point in their dorm, and the information is uploaded. So it's very easy to have that done. Then after a week, we gave them access, and this is what the output looks like when they log on to the web page. So this is what they'll see. They'll see how many steps they did. They'll see how active they were throughout the day, and they can set goals. And so this is the output that they would get to see, that they got to see throughout the game. So what was the game? It was an alternate reality game. How many people have heard of an alternate reality game? Okay, a couple. That's more than usually. So basically what an alternate reality game is, it's a game that's played in real world, in real time, the real world. It uses multiple media. We use web pages, blogs, texts, cell phones, all sorts of different things. And within that, the gameplay elements, there's a narrative going on. So there's a story going on. Our game designer created a story. And in this case, the story was that there was a college professor who was missing on campus. And the students, in their groups of three, had to go around looking for clues. So they traversed the campus looking for different clues to try and solve the mystery. There were riddles, there were puzzles, some of those related to stress, and we had them do a nutrition bar contest. So we tried to relate it to the topics they were learning. And the game board really was the campus. This on the left, the crop circles, was one of the things that we used in the game. You wouldn't believe how long it took us to use that lawnmower to do those crop circles. And then over on the right was one of our characters that actually came to the game and talked to the students about, he was a character within the game. And they actually really did believe that a lot of these things were real. This was the website of the professor. There was a blog that we used. There was also the Indiana University Security webpage. And then basically what we did was we gave them goals of 50,000 steps per week as an individual. And then the team goal was for all members to accomplish the 50,000 steps. Going back to that, so basically each week they were ranked based on whether or not they accomplished the steps and whether or not they were able to find the clues and successfully find the riddles that were given to them. So what we can see here is basically their baseline steps versus during the gameplay. There was a significant difference between the baseline and each week of gameplay. 57% met their individual weekly step goals, and over the 7 weeks, they accumulated about 9 miles more per week as compared to the baseline. So what does that look like with respect to the skeleton chase versus the control group? There was a significant increase in the steps in the skeleton chase group and the game group, and a significant decrease in the control group from pre to post. We also asked some questions about self-reported physical activity. There were no significant differences between groups in moderate physical activity. However, there were significant differences in vigorous physical activity. And so we saw in particular, for the control group, we saw in particular a greater increase for men than we did for women. And body composition. Much like we saw in the other studies that have been done, we saw a significant increase in body composition, but unfortunately that increase occurred regardless of which group they were in. So both groups had a significant increase. So what were some of our observations? We were able to successfully influence physical activity. That's pretty obvious. However, there still was a significant gain in weight, regardless of whether or not they were in the game or the control group. And that leads us basically to say that, you know, we primarily impacted and were working to impact physical activity, and that there's a real need to incorporate other types of behaviors in here, perhaps have them do some sort of things, going to the dorm, the cafeteria, et cetera, and learning a little bit more about the types of foods that they're eating. I also think that it should be independent of class, because the classes talk to each other and one group may have been spending more time than the other group, so there's a little bit of controversy there. And the self-select teams are very important. So they had feedback to us that they didn't necessarily know the people that they were working with, and that was an impediment to their progress. And basically, we need to increase the health-related knowledge in the game as well. So add a little bit more. We did try to address this in a subsequent study that we did. And I just wanted to show you, these were just a couple quick, they went around to all the different clock towers. This was one of the players looking for clues. This is them doing a geocaching event. And then this is just the pure joy of one of the participants in the game. And he went from his baseline steps of 20,600 to 55,000 post. And he just had a grand old time. I want to thank you very much and offer any questions.
Question.
Great fun. But how would you sustain the activity?
That's a very good question. And we looked at this also, like Lee just came up with this game out of his head, and we're like, okay. So we went forward with it, and what we found was that it, you know, the narrative part of it wasn't as critical as the teams and the steps and kind of working towards things. So we're gonna do a follow-up study looking at just having some sort of a step game. If you wanted to take this and do it on other campuses or in future years, you might be able to box it a little bit so that they're looking for the same types of clues and things like that. So far as sustainability for the people that are in here, I would say offering them a way that they could continue to record their steps, as well as perhaps keeping them involved in, we use Twitter messages and things like that in the follow-up study, and so somehow sending them messages and prompts to keep them involved mentally and thinking about recording their steps.
In the rear.
You had a client that had the
Yeah.
What are the
I have absolutely, but the controls, no, the why would it go down? Yeah, the controls were the ones that were in the class and in the lab. And so basically what that was showing was that, as we've seen in the past, that physical activity does decrease during that first semester, regardless of whether or not they were in the health-based class. However, participation in the game caused an increase in their steps.
Okay, time for the last question, and then I'll have to...
Mm-hmm. Could you share the costs associated with the development?
Actually, the cost associated with the development was very little. I mean, we needed some cell phones. We needed the Actiped accelerometers, which are relatively cheap, and the wireless access points. Lee, as part of being part of the grant team, developed the game, and so he was paid through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for summer support, and that was his role, was the development and the running of the game, and all of those web pages were done by our students that were involved. So it really wasn't that much of a cost overhead. Okay, thank you.